Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the third Sunday of Easter comes from our epistle reading of Revelation. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. Thus far the text. It is a sight unlike anything anyone had ever seen on earth. It's the throne room of God, and the angels are there. Myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands of them. The 24 elders and the four living creatures too. The whole company of the heavenly host waiting in anticipation, for there's a scroll that must be opened and seven seals that must be broken, but not just anyone can do it. This scroll is held in the right hand of the Father. That's the place of all authority over everything that ever was and everything that will ever be. Only God alone has that type of authority. Others might have power, but we oftentimes confuse power with authority. And some might have a smattering of authority, but theirs is an authority that has been given and granted to them by God. They have none in and of themselves. And so John, he takes a good look around that throne room, seeking the one who can take that scroll out of the Father's hand, break all of its seals, and unravel it to its final end. But no one's to be found. No one is worthy to take that scroll, not the angels, not the creatures, not the elders. And it's troubling for John. For if this scroll is not unrolled and unsealed, then the future remains uncertain. It would stay bound there forever. And the secrets within would never be spoken. The promises would never be fulfilled. But then one of the elders approaches John with a joyful word to be proclaimed to him and to us. Dry your eyes, weep no more. There is one who can open up that scroll, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Because Judah certainly couldn't do it. You remember Judah with all of their doubts and fears, with all of their false gods and idolatry, with all of their diseases and death and sin. They sound eerily familiar, don't they? Almost shamefully so. They certainly weren't worthy to open up the scroll. And not even David, the greatest of all Israel's kings, was worthy enough to accomplish this impossible task. For even the greatest earthly king was found to be a blubbering mess of a sinner, soiling his hands with lust and adultery, staining them guilty in the blood of the innocent. No one come from man and woman, born in the sin that wraps itself to our mortal nature, is worthy to open up this scroll. But there is another. For this scroll holds the key to the end. This scroll unlocks the way for the miserable fallenness to finally be redeemed. This scroll, it tells the ultimate story of the things of this world passing away, only to be born new again in the perfection of Eden, now lost and found. This scroll brings an end to the things of sin and suffering, of disease and death, of Satan and all of his treacherous enemies that fight tirelessly against the good things of God's creation, against his chosen people, against his church and everything that comes along with her. The sinner, he can't hope to open up this scroll. He can't hope to usher in this victory over these things because the sinner is tied to all of them, is defeated and conquered by all of them to the point of a never-ending death. And not even the angels are worthy, for the angels are of creation, and anything that is of creation can't put an end to that which wishes to destroy creation. So John, he surveys the heavenly throne room once again, seeking the one who is above all of this sin and death and the demons. and he sees someone standing there between the throne room, the throne of God and the elders, standing as the Lord of life between the God of all creation and creation itself, standing as a mediator, standing as an eternal priest between the Heavenly Father and all of his children. There is the eternal Lamb standing as though he had been slain. Bloody sacrifice that should be dead, standing fully alive and well. John sees Jesus with holes still peering through from one side to the next, with gaping wound where water and blood once flowed, maybe still even flowing from his sacrificed side. Head still adorned with all of those scars of thorns that were once mocking in jest, but also ironic in fulfillment that coronated him not only as the King of the Jews, but as the King of all. That's who John sees. Jesus, standing between his Heavenly Father with the signs of the cross eternally imprinted upon him, so that if the Father wants to see his children, he must first look through his Son. The eternal Son is worthy to take the scroll from the Father's right hand, not because of all of his omniscience and omnipotence, not because he's all-powerful and all-everything. We would think that that in and of itself would make him worthy. But what's the use of all of that? Of all of that stuff, if creation is still on a crash course to destruction with no hope of redemption? What's the use of all of that eternal stuff if death is still a specter and graves are still sealed shut? What's the use of all of that God stuff if Satan is still unfettered and can forever torment the pinnacle of creation? What is the use of all of that if you and me and all of mankind are still bound to our sin? What makes this slain lamb worthy? What makes Jesus worthy to take the scroll and break the seven seals is the cross. If the cross had never been attained, if that final and perfect sacrifice had never been slain, if his blood had never been poured out so that a people from every tribe and nation and language could be ransomed for God, then not even the eternal Son would have been worthy to grab that scroll and open it up. But Jesus Christ has been slain, and his blood has been shed. The stone has been rolled away. The tomb is empty. And now he is ascended into the heavenly throne room with scars and holes forever visible, declaring, "It is finished," means forever. There's nothing more that needs to be done. The evil that has waged war on all that is good has been defeated. The sin that threw mankind and all of creation into chaos has been covered and has been forgiven. The death that threatened to end the life that God called very good is dead. The serpent who sought to rip away and devour the people of God, he has been crushed. The cross accomplished all of that. The resurrection vindicated the one who was crucified, declaring his sacrifice to be all sufficient. And the ascension is the coronation of the eternal Lamb that has been slain, announcing once and for all he is worthy to receive that scroll from the Father. And so he does. The Lamb, Jesus the Christ, victoriously strolls up to the Father seated on the throne, and he takes that scroll so that the seals might be opened and our creation, salvation, redemption, and sanctification story might find its fulfillment. Now, the rest of the book of Revelation tells us the story of all of those seals being broken and the scroll being unraveled. And I know you've read it, so have I. Some of it does sound a little bit troubling at first. Wars and rumors of wars and bloodshed. and drought and famine, and earthquakes and volcanoes and hurricanes and tornadoes, diseases and sickness. All of these things come flooding out when some of these seals are broken. And then trumpets, they're blown, and some of these things are spoken about again in different ways with different words, and bowls of wrath are poured out, and we hear of dragons, and we hear of beasts, and harlots, and false prophets. And all of this might be a little bit overwhelming to read about, not to mention to have to endure. And surely, as we sit here today, this side of the grave, we do endure all of them. And I know some days aren't quite as daunting as others, but others are. And sometimes we will find ourselves in despair, calling out to heaven, "Lord Jesus, come quickly." But through it all, we might take comfort. That's the whole reason why John was given this vision and then told to write it out for the seven churches, for all of us to see and hear and know. Because the Lord desires to comfort His church, and He desires to turn the hearts of all of those who don't believe. For salvation from all of these enemies is sure and as certain as a bloody cross and an empty tomb. And it's because of that cross and because of that tomb that Jesus holds the scroll in His hands, meaning that He has authority over everything that might come. And we may not be able to understand all of it, because we do still see things in a shadowy haze where sin still occurs and death still kills and Satan still prowls. But the things that we feel and the things that we experience don't tell the whole story. Christ is crucified, risen, and ascended. He holds the scroll and unfastens all of the seals. He has all the power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing and authority. None of these evils have authority over us, because none of them have authority over Him. And while He holds that scroll in His hand, He wraps us tightly up in an eternal protective embrace with the other, so that even when the evils of this fallen world afflict us, they do not, cannot defeat us. That is why, as this scroll is rolled out and we read the rest of Revelation, we don't just hear the terrifying things, but we hear the comforting things too. We hear about the church triumphant, free from her labor, surrounding the throne of God and singing eternal praises to Him. And we hear about the church militant, of which we're a part right now, being kept and protected amidst the assaults of sin, death, and the devil. And we get to hear about all those beasts, the two of them being thrown aside, and the harlot being shown for what she truly is, and the dragon being chained forever. We are encouraged as death itself is cast into the eternal lake of fire, the bride coming down from heaven to meet her saving bridegroom. We're told of the new creation, perfect Eden renewed, where all tears are dried up and all suffering and misery is gone. And we're promised of that great and glorious last day of bodily resurrection and eternal life lived side by side with the Lamb who has been slain, and with all those who He has redeemed. All of that is sure. All of it is promised. All of that is yours, even right now, if not quite yet. And you may take comfort in that fact. Satan can't take it from you. Your sin is forgiven. Your tomb will be empty. Jesus, He holds the scroll of your promised eternal life. Of that you can be sure, because Jesus has been slain for you. In the name of Jesus.